Thank you, David. This has got to be the worst time slot they have, right after lunch. But that's okay. We're here to hear the word, and I have a page of notes. This morning it was two, so I brought it down to one. It's just the way I work. Anyway. Can you remember your baptisms? Like it was yesterday? Good. So can I. The best day in my life was March 30th, 1991. 34 years ago. Some of you weren't born yet. Some of you have been here longer than I have, for sure. But yeah, the best day of my life was March 30th, 1991. Lana and I were both baptized at the same time. It was wonderful. The experience surrounding that time period, the weeks and months, I don't know if it went into years, but I know it went into months, of leading up to that was marvelous. Lana started coming to church before I did. I think I was in the old church maybe twice before it burnt, and that was it. But my kids needed to know who God was and who Jesus was. So she started bringing them to church, and after a while, they didn't want to go anymore because Dad wasn't going, so Dad started going to church. Honestly, it was a historical event for myself. I was brought up Baptist. We moved from Kansas City out to the suburb areas, and that's where my parents lost interest in taking us to church. But I had a background. And I can remember going to the YMCA over by Truman. I don't think it's the W. Anyway, that's where we were meeting for church. And I teased people. I said, to get in there, I had to run the gauntlet. Had these two brothers named Case. They were both Cases. One of them has hands this big and the other one has hands this wide. So to shake them with these little bitty hands was not an easy task. But they were always there. It was a constant. And it was good for me because they were always there greeting me with smiles on their faces. And they welcomed me. That was what was so nice. Is I was welcomed. Then I can remember one day that Alvin Harris, he was the pastor at the time, he stood up after service and announced that they were going to be having some baptism classes for couples that only one of the couples was a member of the church, and neither one were members. But he asked us after the service if we would be willing to come to those. I said, yeah, I think Lana fainted. But it worked out good for us because it was at Alvin's house. My in-laws lived just a few blocks from there, so we could drop the kids off, go to Alvin's house. Glenn was there. There were several couples there starting out. They slowly filtered out. And they taught me. Not only did they teach me, this is a joyful time in my life. That's why I've got this emotion going on. But they taught me. They taught me about Jesus Christ. They taught me what baptism was and why it needed to be done. We went into other things also because there's only so much you can get out of the scriptures concerning baptism. But we went on. They taught us about the migrations of the people that came over to this continent and stuff. It was great. I can remember asking one time, though, what's a Nephite? I didn't grow up in this church. I had no concept of what a Nephite was. So they got these smiles on their faces, and they taught Lana and I about the Nephites and the Lamanites. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time. That was the best day of my life. Let's go to John. Because What I'm going to do is I've got this broke down into a couple of pieces, I guess you could call it. One is things that they taught me, which was wonderful, and the other one was they taught me the who. The who could baptize. Because what I found out, especially it seems more prevalent now than it was probably 35 years ago, but Satan's been working since the beginning of time. But I keep seeing this stuff to where the gospel is truly getting watered down. It's gotten to the point to where people are saying either you don't need baptism or anybody can do it. That's both are lies. Both are lies. Anyway, let's go to what we were taught. John 14. John 14, verses 1 through 6. This is Jesus talking, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." So what is believing? I've got this thing where I tell people, especially when they've got questions and stuff about things I just talked about, is you can believe anything you want. Doesn't make it true. But I know for a fact that these scriptures are true because they changed me. They changed my heart. They changed me from the old man to the new man when I came up out of the waters. Believe me, you didn't want to know the old man. He still tries to creep up from time to time, and it gets me in trouble. But what, you know, when you believe in something, that's fine. But to truly believe in it is you need to take those steps. And if you truly believe in Jesus Christ and truly believe that He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, that makes it even that much more important to me as far as baptism and as far as believing. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Then Thomas comes in. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That tells me that I can't go to the Father. I can't dwell with Him in heaven unless I come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That was one of the things they taught me. Book of Mormon, page 770. It's the 8th chapter of Moroni, and I'll start at verse 20. Excuse me. Little children cannot repent, wherefore it is awful wickedness to deny the pure mercies of God unto them, for they are all alive in Him because of His mercy. And he that saith that little children need baptism denieth the mercies of Christ, and setteth at naught the atonement of Him and the power of His redemption. Woe unto such, for they are in danger of death, hell, and an endless torment. I speak boldly, God hath commanded me. Listen unto them. Excuse me. Woe unto such, for they are in danger of death, hell, and an endless torment. I speak boldly, God hath commanded me. Listen unto them and give heed,
or they stand against you at the judgment seat of Christ. For behold, that all little children are alive in Christ, and also all they that are without the law. For the power of redemption cometh on all they that have no law. Wherefore, he that is not condemned, or he that is under no condemnation, cannot repent. And unto such baptism availeth nothing. If you don't know the difference between good and bad, if you don't know what baptism is for, then it's not going to avail you anything. But they taught me, Glenn and Alvin taught me, that I was old enough that I knew better. So little children, they don't need baptism because they're innocent. Verse 27, but it is mockery before God, denying the mercies of Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit, and putting trust in dead works. Behold, my son, this thing had not ought to be, for repentance is unto them that are under condemnation and under the curse of a broken law. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. The first thing you do when you understand truly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He came to save us, to give us salvation, to give us a resurrection, and to give us baptism. The first fruits of repentance is baptism. The first thing that you should do after you come to a realization that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God, because your mind's been changed, is to be baptized unto repentance. And unto the fulfilling of commandments, and the fulfilling of commandments bringeth remission of sins. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. But the first thing is repentance and baptism. Second Nephi 6, page 108, if you're going by that. As Bob said this morning, there's nothing new that I'm bringing to you. It's just that I hope I've put it together in a way that will make you understand why there's a need for baptism. 2 Nephi 6, verse 44 through 56. This is in Jacob's speech, and he says, "Oh, how great the holiness of our God! For He knoweth all things, and there is not anything save He knows it. And He cometh into the world that He may save all men, if they will hearken unto His voice." If you'll believe the things that are written, because John says the Word became flesh, if you believe the things that is written that Jesus Christ did, if you'll hearken unto His voice, then you'll be saved. But what does He tell us? For behold, He suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam. And He suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before Him at the great and judgment day. And He commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in His name. The commandment that we must repent and be baptized in His name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. That seems to be pretty straightforward. And if they will not repent, believe in His name, and be baptized in His name, and endure to the end, they must be damned. Pretty simple there too. You got a choice. You believe in God? Believe in Jesus Christ. and be baptized in his name. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it. Wherefore he hath given a law, and where there is no law given, there is no punishment. And where there is no punishment, there is no condemnation. And where there is no condemnation, the mercies of the Holy One of Israel hath claim upon them, because of the atonement. For they are delivered by the power of him, for the atonement satisfieth the demands of his justice upon all those who have not the law given to them, that they are delivered from that awful monster, death and hell, and the devil, and the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. And they are restored to that God who gave them breath, which is the Holy One of Israel. But woe unto them that hath the law given, yea, that hath the commandments of God like unto us, and that transgresseth them, and that wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state. We've had a law given. Part of that is to repent and be baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go to the book of John. The book of John. I'm going to go to John 3. And I'm going to start with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a lot said in that one verse right there. For God so loved the world. He loved us so much that he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't just come into being. It was an act of love that he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, to teach us. Excuse me. I'm still fighting this cold. I apologize. And he says, whosoever that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're condemned already. Baptism isn't going to avail you anything at this point because you don't believe who Jesus Christ truly is. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You've got to believe it. I feel very blessed that there were people that took Lana and myself, I don't know, it's under their wing is what I want to call it, but cared enough for us that we were new into the congregation, that they cared enough for us to take us aside and to teach us. Not just so we would be members of this Church of Christ, but that we would be members of the Church of Christ, be members of the body of Jesus Christ. Go to the book of Mark. I didn't write it, obviously. The book of Mark, 16, two verses, 15 and 16. And he saith unto them, well, this would be the Great Commission, you might call it, but I'm using it in Mark. I like the wording that's there a little bit better. And he said unto him, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Little side joke, I guess. I used to work in a rural atmosphere out in the country and stuff. Sometimes I'd be sitting by a pedestal, I fixed phone lines. I'd be sitting by a phone pedestal and stuff. And after a while, I'd notice I'd look up and I would have this congregation staring at me. Cows. So in my mind, which I try to keep myself humored, I thought, preach to every creature, so while I'm working here, I'm going to practice. They never talk back. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's a little funny that goes on in my head. Okay, start over. And he saith unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's pretty easy right there. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're already damned. But he that believeth, and what I say believing is, if you truly believe in something, it's just not that, okay, big deal, he's the Son of God. It is a big deal. It's a big deal. Because he says, he that believeth. I was really starting, after a few sessions, I was really starting to believe and to understand who Jesus Christ really was. That he really was the Son of God and he did miracles. And it was amazing to me. I have to tell you, I remember that time period like it was yesterday. And that's why I ask you, can you remember your baptisms like it was yesterday? Because that keeps me founded. I mean, when hands were laid on me, after I came up out of the water and we went in and got dry clothes on and stuff came out, when we were going through those classes, I had a worry. I'm kind of a worrier also. I had a worry that I wanted to know for a fact that I received the Holy Ghost. I didn't want any questions about it. I wanted to know. So I voiced my concern one time. And this lady, first name's Linda, it's Larson now, she looked me right in the eye and just an easy answer was, we'll pray about it. That wasn't a brand new concept, but I wasn't used to praying for things like that. So I thought, I will, in my own head. So I started praying diligently about it, that when hands were laid on me, I would know of a surety that I had received the Holy Ghost. And God is faithful. Well, that's a hard one to swallow. It's because it's so much joy that when their hands laid on me and they started praying, I felt the warmth come out of their hands. And it wasn't them. It was Jesus Christ. And it was the Holy Ghost. And I felt that warmth go down through my shoulders and out my arms, down through my torso and down through and out my feet. I felt it completely through my body. I was warmed up. And I knew that I had received the Holy Ghost. God is so faithful that I've got so many testimonies of not only my life being physically saved, but spiritually saved as well. The best thing I ever did was get baptized. The very best thing. Excuse me, I'm trying to get my composure back before I go on. But yeah, it affected me. It affected me greatly. Where am I at? Okay. John 10, the 10th chapter of John, my very favorite verse. And Sean probably knows what it is. John 10, I'm going to start at verse 7. This is another miracle that came about in this time period. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. In verse 9, he says it specifically, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There was a night that I went to study. I don't remember now if Lana wasn't feeling good or if it was one of our daughters that wasn't feeling, but I went by myself. I showed up, and I was the only one there besides Glenn and Alvin. So I looked him in the eye, and I said, "You tag teaming me tonight?" And they said, "Yep." And they did, but it was a wonderful time. But anyway, I need to put a little bit of background to this one. There was another thing I wanted to know. I wanted to know that baptism wasn't just a fluke to where you got wet. Of course, I know it's not now. And I like the group sticks. Back in that time period, they had a song that was out. That was the name of the song was "Show Me the Way," and it talked about that all the saints had turned to sinners and whatnot. But the theme of the song was "Show Me the Way." I'd been praying that prayer, going to work, while I was working. It was constant on my mind. Show me the way. I was driving home that night, and I can tell you almost exactly where I was at. I live in Oak Grove. I was going down the main drag, which is Broadway. I was probably about where the old swimming pool used to be, but it's the police station now. But anyway, I was praying that prayer, and I couldn't hardly see to drive because I was teared up so much and so emotional. But I prayed that prayer, and it was a vision in the sky, like it was on a drive-in movie screen, but there wasn't any screen there. And there were doors, physical doors that I could see in the sky. At that time, I had no concept of what I was being told. But it was an answer to my prayer. But Alvin and Glenn had taught me how to use a concordance and how to study. So I started looking up gates. Well, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. But they weren't gates, they were doors. So I did a word search on doors. I came up with John 10:9. I am the door. In his mercy, he was showing this ignorant individual that he is the way. That's what I was praying for. Show me the way. And he did. He showed me these doors. And then when I found this, it's like Jesus says, I am the door. You have to go through me to get to the Father. And so I did. It's wonderful. And it's more fruit because I'm standing up here now. Did I ask to be here? No, I did not. The only thing that I can remember is having a desire to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And that's it. And he worked with that from there. But yeah, it's a wonderful time. Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi 13, page 161. Second Nephi 13, and I'm going to start at verse 7. Guess I need to get to the right page. This whole chapter is on baptism. But it says in verse 7, "And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized even by water?" I was unholy, but if Jesus, being holy, nothing wrong, perfect, had need to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, who am I to say, no, that's not right? It's not. You need to be baptized. There's a I'm going to call it a line of thought because that's the only words that come to my head, that out in the world, that no, you don't need to be baptized. You just have to believe. Well, it says that in certain places, but like I said before, what is truly believing if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he says you need to be baptized? I was baptized, so what more need than you being unholy need to be baptized? So yeah, it made sense. I need to get baptized. And now I would ask you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showed unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father. That's what it is. It's a humbling. And it's a witness. And witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Baptism is being obedient unto the Father and being obedient to Jesus Christ. It's an act of obedience that needs to be done. For God, no, he knows what our heart is, but I needed to take that step. I'm at a loss for words. I needed to take that step. Well, because it's a commandment. Wherefore, after that he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter. He having set the example before them. He didn't do anything that he didn't ask us to do. He had already set the example. And he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And one of them is, get baptized. And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Following down into the waters, be buried with Jesus Christ in the waters, and come up out of those waters a new person. Where am I at here? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, because he's going to know if you're trying to deceive him by being baptized. He knows your heart. He knows me better than I know myself. And I've heard it said up here before, but that's a fact. But with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that you're willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word. Behold, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then ye can speak with the tongues of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments by baptism in water, and have received the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and can speak with new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. Two things that I want to talk about in this. One was where Jesus says, follow thou me. We get a 15-minute coffee break, so during that half hour, while I was on break, this discussion about baptism came up. And I know one was a Methodist, and I don't know what the others were and stuff, but I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, and they're talking, and one guy says, well, you know, there's sometimes you just can't get somebody down into the water. And I sat there, and I thought, I'm going to be quiet. But the more he talked, the more little poking I got from the Lord. You need to say something. So I did. So I started out with this, where I started out with, you know, Jesus, he got baptized. And, you know, I walked him right down the path. I said, he got baptized. And if he got baptized, and we're supposed to follow Jesus went down into the water and came up out of the water. And I said, there's nobody that I can't get down into the water, even if it's going to take an engine puller. Even if I got to slide them over in a harness or something and lower them down into the water, we're going to get them in the water and we're going to put them under the water if they truly want to be baptized. It can be done. But after I said that, and I mentioned, if you follow Jesus Christ, and after I mentioned that, it was dead silence. Because when the truth of God speaks, it puts everything else to rest. Because it's the truth. And you can bank on it. And that was an experience to me that when the Lord tells you to say something, you need to say it. Because I was about to get hit with the 2x4, I'm afraid. But yeah. So I spoke up. And I hope that it got in. I hope that it did something for him. Good. Verse 18, but behold, my beloved brethren, where it says, the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, after thee, if you repented of your sins, witnessed unto the Father that you're willing to keep my commandments by baptism of water and receive the Holy Ghost by fire, and should deny me, that it would have been better that you hadn't known me. I was sitting at home, and we would have these, it was on Friday nights, we'd have these studies. And I would come home and, man, I would be fired up. I could not go to sleep. So I mentioned that to Lana one time. I said, man, after them Friday nights, it gets me so fired up that I'm having trouble sleeping. And she said, well, why don't you just read? Oh, okay. I'm not a big reader, but that's what I started doing. So I thought, well, I'm going to read through the Book of Mormon. So I got to this verse 18 right here. And even though I knew that I hadn't been baptized yet, because I hadn't been. But the problem is that I had studied enough and had been taught enough that I knew. I knew who Jesus Christ was, and I knew that I needed to be baptized. And I knew that if I didn't, it wasn't going to be well for me, because I knew it. And after that, and I read this, I don't know how many times, several times, and I just sat there in awe. And the Lord seemed like he just put more pressure on me. I don't know how else to say it. Put more pressure on me and stuff. And I, you know, after that, I thought, all right, I got to be baptized, and it's got to be today. And it was 5 a.m. and I said, don't call Alvin. So I waited till 7. And I called him, and he wanted to come over to the house and visit for a little bit. And so I went over and visited for a little bit. And Lan and I were baptized in the East Local that night. The most wonderful experience that I have ever experienced in my life. But I knew if I didn't do it, it wouldn't be good for me, because I had studied and I knew who Jesus Christ was. So I got baptized. You know, I haven't talked with a bunch of people about baptism. But one of the things that I have ran into quite a bit when I study with people on baptism is they don't think they know enough. Well, I don't know enough. Where does it say that at? I was the same way. I don't know enough. But when I read the scriptures here, it says, are you willing? In verse 16, it says, witnessing to the Father that you are willing to take upon him the name of Christ by baptism. Do you got that willingness within you? If you haven't been baptized, do you have that willingness? And another thing that scares me about reading this is that when I read verse 18 and what it did for me, I know for a fact that there's people out there that know who Jesus Christ is, and because of disobedience, they don't get baptized. I asked one time, I said, because they're older, they're married and have kids, and they've been in the church longer than I have. Maybe, I can't remember how old they are. But anyway, they grew up around it. I didn't. And there are times to where I grieve for them, because they know better and they're not doing it. And when I read the scriptures, if they know better and they're not doing it, they're already condemned. And that worries me because I like them. I don't want anybody to be condemned. We're going to shift a little bit here. Page 259, Mosiah, the 9th chapter. You know, like I said a little bit earlier, there's this thought out there that either you don't have to be baptized, or there's another one I've ran across in the last couple years, it's probably always been there, that anybody can baptize. I don't believe it for a second. That's not what the scriptures tell me. Page 259, Mosiah 9, verse 38. This is Alma, and he was one of the priests of King Noah, who was not a good king, and they were cast out, and they were meeting in the wilderness, and Alma was the spokesman. That's the only word that comes to me. And it says, "And it came to pass that he said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God, and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand, and to stand as a witness of God at all times and all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have ye against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before him that ye have entered into a covenant with him, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly upon you. And now when the people heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, this is the desires of our heart. We want to be baptized. I wanted to be baptized so bad, I almost called Alvin at 5 in the morning. He might have been up, I don't know. But yeah. They exclaimed, this is the desires of our heart. And now it came to pass that Alma took Helaman, he being one of the first, and went and stood forth in the water and cried, saying, O Lord, pour out thy spirit upon thy servant, that he may do this work with holiness of heart. And when he had said these words, the spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he said, Helaman, I baptize thee, having authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead, as to the mortal body. And may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, and may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, which he hath prepared from the foundation of the world. And after Alma had said these words, both Alma and Helaman were buried in the water. They both went down into the water because Alma hadn't been baptized yet, and that was the only way he could do it. And they arose and came forth out of the water, rejoicing, being filled with the Spirit. And again Alma took another and went forth a second time into the water and baptized him according to the first. Only he did not bury himself in the water. And after this manner did he baptize everyone that went forth to the place of Mormon. And they were in number about 204 souls. Yea, and they were baptized in the waters of Mormon and were filled with the grace of God. And they were called the Church of God, or the Church of Christ, from that time forward. And it came to pass that whosoever was baptized by the power and authority of God was added to his church. I don't know how many people were there, but if anybody could baptize, why did he have Alma do it? Acts 8. Acts chapter 8, and I'll start at verse 25. This is Philip and the eunuch. There we go. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in the place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came upon a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded that the chariot should stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and they went his own way rejoicing. If anybody can baptize, why did the Lord send Philip to the eunuch? Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as they journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. My, that went fast. I'm going to skip to verse 10. We already know that Saul was persecuted, was a Pharisee, and he was persecuting the Christians even unto death. And in verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. If you remember, Paul was struck down and he lost his sight and he was blind. And those that were with him had to guide him into the city. If anybody could baptize, why didn't they? Let me see, where am I at? Verse 12, and he saith in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil that he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all them, to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear the name to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I show unto him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it were, as it had been scales, and he received sight therewith and rose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Paul was sent to a certain man named Ananias to be baptized. Not just anybody. And baptized in a way that they went down into the water and came back up out of the water. Book of Mormon, page 270. Mosiah 9, start at verse 175. 175 through 180. This is Ammon, and this is Ammon. And now since the coming of Ammon, King Lemhi, there we go. He was talking to King Lemhi, had also entered into a covenant with God and also many of his people to serve and to keep his commandments. And it came to pass that King Lemhi and many of the people were desirous to be baptized, but there was none in the land that had authority from God. And Ammon declined doing this, considering himself an unworthy servant. Ammon didn't think he was worthy enough to baptize these people. Therefore, they did not at that time form themselves into a church, waiting upon the Spirit of the Lord. Now they were desirous to become even as Ammon and his brethren, which had fled into the wilderness. They were desirous to be baptized as a witness and a testimony that they were willing to serve God with all their hearts. Nevertheless, they did prolong the time, and an account of their baptism shall be given hereafter. And I'm going to go to that right now, page 281. Which would be the 11th chapter of Mosiah, verse 94. And it came to pass that after Ammon had taught the people many things and had made an end of speaking to them, that King Lemhi was desirous that he might be baptized, and all the people were desirous that they might be baptized also. Therefore, Ammon did go forth into the water and did baptize them. Yea, he did baptize them after the manner he did his brethren in the waters of Mormon. Yea, and as many as he did baptize did belong to the church of God, and this because of their belief in the words of Alma. Ammon didn't feel that he was worthy enough, so they waited. They waited until somebody with authority, like Alma, who was given that authority from God, could baptize him. It wasn't just anybody. So they waited. Last verse, page 633, 3 Nephi 5. Verse 17. And it came to pass, and then when they had all gone forth and had witnessed for themselves, they did cry out with one accord, saying, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Most High God. And they fell down at the feet of Jesus and did worship him. And it came to pass that he spake unto Nephi, after Nephi was among the multitude, and he had commanded him that he should come forth. And Nephi arose and went forth and bowed himself before the Lord, and he did kiss his feet. And the Lord commanded him that he should arise, and he arose and stood before him. And the Lord said unto him, I give you power that ye shall baptize this people when I am again ascended into heaven. And it came again, and again the Lord called others and said unto them likewise. And he gave unto them power to baptize. And he saith unto them, on this wise shall ye baptize, and there shall be no disputations among you. That means do it this way. Verily I say, and this is Jesus Christ. So if he says it, it's gospel. And he said unto them, on the wise shall ye baptize, and there shall be no disputations among you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever repenteth of his sins through your words and desireth to be baptized in my name, on this wise shall ye baptize them. Behold, ye shall go down and stand in the water, and in my name shall ye baptize them. That's what we do. We go down into the water. And now behold, these words are the words which ye shall say, calling them by name, saying, having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then shall ye immerse them in water, and go forth again out of the water. And after this manner shall ye baptize in my name. For behold, verily I say unto you, that the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. And I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the Father and I are one. And according as I have commanded you, thus shall ye baptize. I hope I've given you some things to think about, some things to consider when you see some of these things that just aren't true, that you can validate in the scriptures. I hope I've been of worth. Thank you.